Give Your Heart a Break by Hapa Kitsune, read by
Night Tracer
and Hana Nobira. So,
Steven says, kicking his feet up onto James' coffee table.
Why didn't you tell me you and Martin were dating?
James chokes on his Gatorade and nearly spits it out over his sofa. Only the knowledge of how much it would cost to get it cleaned makes him force himself to swallow and cough out. What?
It's okay,
Steven says, patting his back in a way that's clearly meant to be comforting.
No one cares. DZ's cool with it. Gary's cool with it. Hell, I think everyone on your team has been trying to respect your privacy. But dude, we're friends.
What are you talking about? James says, trying to shove him off. Where did you hear that? Steven frowns and says,
My mom told me. Says she heard it from your mom.
James stares at him for a long, terrible moment. Excuse me for a sec, he says finally, and grabs his phone off the cushion next to him before hightailing it into his bedroom. His mom doesn't pick up, so he leaves a voicemail saying, Hey, mom, call me back as soon as you get this. And very valiantly doesn't yell, What the hell did you tell Mrs. Stamkos? Then he texts Paul, 911, have you had any weird conversations lately? And goes back out to talk to Stephen.
Sorry,
Stephen says when James comes out.
I shouldn't have just blurted it out like that. I was going to lead up to it, make it less awkward. But I don't know if that's possible, really.
What exactly did my mum tell you? James asks, sitting back down on the couch. He folds his hands in his lap, then feels weird about that and shoves them in his sweatshirt pocket.
She said you were kind of sensitive about it, and that you didn't like to talk about it.
Stephen looks around James' living room.
Kind of explains this place, though.
James bristles. What about this place?
Have you looked at your house?
Stephen asks.
You barely had any running water last time I was here.
I've always had running water, asshole. James snaps. And Paul is not my boyfriend.
Yeah, sure,
says Stephen, rolling his eyes.
That's why you moved in across the street from him. And that's why you're always in his house. And that's why you...
Can we talk about something else? James asks desperately. Please?
Okay,
Stephen says.
If you don't want to talk about it, fine. But if you ever do, you know how to reach me.
Yeah, James mutters. Let's play Halo or something. Once Stephen has finally left, yawning, and saying he'll call a cab back to his hotel, James dives for his phone again and calls his mother, again, as he heads to bed. Answer me, Mum, he hisses at his phone. And then he nearly falls off his bed when she actually does.
James?
Ma! James collapses backwards onto his pillow instead of the ceiling. Did you tell Mrs. Stamkos that Paul and I are dating?
Oh, honey,
his mum says, sounding guilty.
I know you were hoping to tell people on your own, but she was asking about you, and I wasn't going to lie.
What do you mean? Asks James, clutching at his phone. I never told you I'm dating Paul.
I know, but honestly, dear,
she says, tone turning reproachful.
If you wanted to keep it a secret, you could try not talking about him all the time.
I do not talk about him all the time, James protests.
You do,
she says.
It's fine. We're all happy for you, eh?
We? James asks, dread settling in his stomach.
Your brother, your father, you know,
she says.
The family. I'm sorry I told Mrs. Stamkos, but I figured you were such good friends with Stephen.
I am not dating Paul, Mum, James nearly yells. For a moment, his mother is ominously silent.
James,
she says quietly.
I'm sorry.
What?
I wouldn't have told her if I'd known you'd broken up,
she continues, and James bangs his head against his headboard. James stews for most of the night, and is still cranky the next morning when he stomps through the snow to Paul's house. He lets himself in and finds Paul already up and making eggs, two cups of coffee sitting at the kitchen bar. James drops onto one of the bar stools and says, My mum thinks we're dating. Paul pauses for a moment, and then looks back over his shoulder.
Really?
James nods and pulls his mug towards him, rubbing his hand over the chip from where he had dropped it 2 weeks ago. She told Stammer's mum.
Wow.
Paul turns back to the stove.
What did you say?
I told her we weren't dating, and she thought I meant that we had broken up, James says. He picks up his mug and sips at it. A pinch of sugar and enough milk to turn it caramel-coloured, just the way he liked. I didn't manage to clear up the situation, so just so you know, you're officially public enemy number one in the Neil household.
Thanks for that,
Paul says dryly. He jerks his head towards the cabinets.
Do you mind grabbing a couple plates?
Sure. James gets up, grabs two of the casual dining plates as well as a couple of forks. Do we have toast?
No, but if you want, go and pop in a couple slices.
James makes four pieces of toast, two for each of them, while Paul finishes the eggs to go along with the bacon, and the two of them sit at the bar in comfortable silence as they eat. James is thinking that his toast is pretty dry when Paul gets up, grabs a container of butter from the fridge and gives it to him. And James gapes at it for nearly 30 seconds before blurting out, Oh my god, we are dating! Paul stares at him.
What?
Butter! James says, voice strangled. He points at the container incoherently. You butter!
You always want butter on your toast,
Paul says blankly. Exactly! James says. You know that I always want butter!
Eat your damn breakfast, James.
Paul says, looking down at his plate. His ears are a little redder than usual. All right, hands up, James says, as soon as he walks into the dressing room for practice. How many of you think Paul and I are dating?
Oh, here we go,
Paul mutters, rolling his eyes. He claps James on the shoulder and heads for his stool, shaking his head.
Is this a serious question?
Dupa asks, eyebrows raised. Yes, James says, just as Paul says.
Absolutely not.
Ignore him. James waves his hand at Paul dismissively. Hands up, right now. Slowly the hands of everyone in the dressing room, even Beau, go up. James groans and flings himself into his stool.
Nielsi, you are not dating Paul?
Gino asks, brow creasing concern.
But you always together.
We are not always together. We don't even play the same position, James says, which he realizes is a pretty weak argument the moment it leaves his mouth.
All right,
Dupa says, rolling his eyes as everyone starts sniggering.
I think what Gino meant to ask is why aren't you dating? Yes, that,
Gino says, pointing at him. Because we're just friends, James exclaims. Sydney snorts from where he's lacing up his skates.
Obviously. I eat breakfast at TK's every morning because we're friends. Oh, wait. I'd let you eat breakfast at my place.
Beau tells Sydney very earnestly.
Is that a euphemism now?
Cookie asks. Unfortunately for James, that completely derails the entire room into discussing unusual euphemisms. James tries to catch Paul's eye across the room, but Paul doesn't look up once.
So,
Gino says, as they're watching Sydney's line do some drills.
You not dating Polly?
No, James says.
I thought you date him for years now,
Gino says thoughtfully.
Since you sleep on his couch.
Really? James frowns and leans on his stick. What made you think that? Gino shrugs.
Don't know. Always seem happy with him. Move across the street, but nothing in house but bed.
Gino actually makes air quotes with his glove.
Everyone think it code for living with Paul.
Oh. James watches Paul across the ice. I didn't know that.
Because you're stupid,
Gino says cheerfully.
Paul make you breakfast every morning. Marry him, or he finds someone else. Not everyone stupid like you.
And logically, James shouldn't care if Paul finds someone else. In fact, he should be happy about it. Paul deserves to be happy. He deserves to have someone who loves him and will appreciate his eggs, and how he gets mad at messes and cleans and rage fits, and how his Minnesota accent comes in stronger when he's talking to his mum, and oh God, James loves all of those things about Paul. Gino, James says, do you think you can date someone without realizing it? Gino rolls his eyes and skates away from him. James eventually decides you can't, but that does raise the question of what exactly he and Paul have been doing for the past, is it 2 years? He stews over it for the rest of practice. Thinking about he and Paul spent both Canadian and American Thanksgivings together the year before, arguing over turkeys and stuffing and cranberry sauce, and how James has gone over to Paul's nearly every morning since he had moved out. So it's a little weird. James knows a lot of hockey players who have formed weird symbiotic relationships with their friends. He's going to use that as an excuse if anyone asks why he never realised before. He had caught a ride with Paul to the rink because his car is freezing in the morning and Paul has heated seats, which at the time had seemed normal and now just feels really awkward. They sit in total silence until James reaches out and turns on the radio, just to drown out the newfound tension between them. Paul, who would normally object, doesn't even so much as twitch. I'm sorry, James blurts out, halfway through a Demi Lovato song. I think I made things awkward and I didn't mean to. Paul shakes his head in exasperation.
Do you ever think before you speak?
Sometimes, James mutters. He's only partially lying.
I just don't know why you had to bring the team into it.
Paul says, taking the turn onto their street, a little harder than necessary. I wanted to know if they thought we were dating, James says. I mean, my mum did.
Well, congratulations,
Paul snaps.
Now they all know we're not dating, because you've made that abundantly clear.
Paulie.
Get the fuck out of my car,
Paul says, screeching to a stop in front of James's house. Why are you so fucking mad? Demands James. It's true. We aren't dating.
Would it be so bad if we were?
Paul turns to glare at him.
You were pretty eager to tell everyone we aren't. I'm not an awful option.
You're a great option, says James.
Okay, so what the fuck was that about?
Paul demands. Oh, shut up, will you? James lets out a huffy breath and crosses his arms. We aren't dating, but what if we are? Were. Do.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Paul sighs, pinching the bridge of his nose. You know how I take my coffee, James says bluntly. I spend more mornings in your house than I do in mine. You've cleaned me up when I vomited everywhere. I buy your groceries.
You bought me groceries once,
Paul says. What I'm saying, James continues, ignoring him, is that we could be dating.
Sure,
says Paul.
And the Panthers could win the cup.
Shut up! You're not taking me seriously! James punches Paul in the shoulder. Let's date. We can date, right? Paul stares at him.
You're serious?
Yes, James shrugs. We can try it. Paul drops his head onto the steering wheel.
You're such an idiot, James.
Is that a no?
No,
Paul says reluctantly.
It's a... I really like you, and I don't want to fuck this up, so I'm trying to avoid saying yes.
Good, James says, grinning. Date. You, me, next Saturday.
Go home, James,
Paul says. But he's smiling a little too. James instinctively leans over and pecks him on the mouth. A little weirded out, but also weirdly turned on by the prickle of Paul's moustache against his upper lip. You should know, I don't put out until at least the third course, he says, smirking, and Paul rolls his eyes before shoving at his shoulder.
Get out of my car,
he says, and James hops out of the car to head into his house, whistling the rest of the Demi Lovato song as he goes. The end.